Thanks for joining me today on the Beagler's Journal. I'm fortunate enough to be sitting down with my good friend, Delbert Erb. We're going to just kind of talk about Delbert's experiences with this sport, how he got started, what he likes to compete in, and why he likes to compete that way, and some of the dogs he's owned and, you know, some of his techniques for getting dogs ready for hunts. He's had a lot of experience. He's got a big list of dogs he can talk about, and he's a dog guy. I can't say enough about his ability to make a dog, maintain a dog, and compete with a dog, putting dogs where they need to be. So, Delbert, if you don't mind, again, let us, you know, kind of introduce yourself and let them know who you are and what you do.
Well, thanks for having me, Sean. I've been looking forward to this. For people who don't know who I am, some people also know me by Buckeye Kennels. That's what I go by mainly in the competition world when you're looking at owners' names and so forth. But I'm located in East Central Ohio, Sugar Creek, Ohio, Holmes County. Do a lot of my dog running in the wood lots and thickets and briar patches. It's pretty much the terrain and running style I get to run in most times.
Okay, so how did you first get introduced into Beagles?
Well, I've always been around Beagles. Growing up on a farm, Dad always had a Beagle or two running around the farm, basically, just as a rabbit hunter perspective of it. And he mainly got dogs from competition guys that didn't make the cut. Maybe didn't have enough speed or didn't have all the ability it took to make a competition dog. But they had all the bloodlines that everybody else in the competition world had.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, we've always had dogs around until it was like 2009 when I was about 19, 20 years old, something like that. I wanted to get into the Beagles a little bit more. It was something I guess I liked better than what I thought I did. And a lot of people know my cousin Ivan Mast, and then he's the guy that got me into the competition world. And
so Ivan's the one that drug you into the whole field trialing jazz. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. But your dad kind of led you into Beagles and introduced you to it. No. Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy running dogs and all that stuff? Or was it just kind of something like, hey, big cousin Ivan wants me to tag along?
I mean, I always enjoyed going out rabbit hunting. Mm-hmm. Basically, like our dogs just run loose on the farm like they did years ago. Not all the time, but, you know, we'd tie them up. But we'd go out and let them run for a couple hours and then let them run until the rest of the night. And they'd come back in the morning and we'd put them back in their kennels.
Yep. So... I'm a big pedigree guy. Not just for the sake of the papers, but because the pedigrees and the bloodlines are what creates the dogs that we run.
Right.
You know, so just out of curiosity, what were some of the lines, if you know, that your dad's dogs were out of?
So Dad, like, primarily kept, like, one male around and then, like, a couple females, and he'd raise a litter of pups.
Mm-hmm.
A couple litter of pups a year. One thing I do remember always, he tried to have a litter of pups that would be ready to go by Christmas time.
Okay.
And then he'd advertise them in the local paper and really had no issue selling them.
Yeah.
And he always advertised them as rabbit dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So we always had AKC registered dogs. But the male that we had was directly out of a Spicer's Blueback.
Okay.
Which he had won the Little Pack World Hunt.
Yep. And he's actually a contributor to quite a few popular lines today as well. So yeah.
If you look back, you can still find that name.
Absolutely. There's some people that built their kennel around that dog and that dog's influence genetically. So that's interesting. So what was it about those dogs that you say didn't necessarily make the cut for a competition dog? Describe those dogs to us and why you came to that conclusion.
I guess my opinion on why they didn't make the cut, like at that time, I didn't know why, but now I do it with, you know, some years of experience. But the first thing that I see is they didn't have enough foot. And maybe just not. I mean, they were above average dogs, but they weren't no exceptional dogs or nothing like that. Which I guess a couple of them he bought as puppies. So they really, I shouldn't say they didn't make the cut. But he did buy a couple dogs that had a little bit of age to them, you know, 3-4-year-old dogs that, like, I think that male dog was even put in a couple competition.
Okay.
He just, you know, had no luck.
By your dad or by?
No. There's
whoever he got him from.
There was a neighbor and I believe his kennel partner.
Okay. Yep.
So that's primarily where dad went to, was our neighbor who had connection with the field trial guys.
Yeah. So, but they were pretty decent rabbit dogs still.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
What did you like about them? What did they do well?
I mean, they circled rabbits so we could go ahead and shoot them, you know. At that time, you know, that's all we knew was rabbit hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And you could.
So you were content with those dogs at the time. Yeah, there was nothing you weren't, oh, these dogs aren't good enough or anything like that.
You know, and not to, you know, brag or nothing, but there was a lot of local guys that were just rabbit hunters that would come and breed to our male because he was known to be one of the better rabbit hunting dogs around.
Right, yeah.
You know, we would, my brothers, older brothers and so forth would sometimes go hunting with their friends and so forth. And, you know, everybody had a rabbit dog or two, and then we had a lot of people just show up and breed to our male. And he threw some very nice pups. And actually my cousin Ivan Mast ended up getting a couple dogs off of us that he did do a little bit of competition with. I think one he was doing pretty well with and then had some unfortunate luck with it. But there were dogs that I feel at that time and probably still could compete if we maybe gave them the opportunity.
Yeah. So let's fast forward a little bit into Ivan basically getting you into field trialing and what dogs you were running at that time and how you came about them and maybe kind of some of the similarities or differences between those dogs and dogs you started off with.
Yeah, so when I first started off, like when Ivan got me into the competition world, I still had a couple dogs that were from my dad's stock, so to speak. Two of them was a male and a female. The male, which I named Ice, was a son to that blueback dog. We named him Bear.
Okay.
And then the daughter was also out of the same male Bear. And so I did run Ice in one trial, actually more than one. But the very first one I took him to was like in December of 2009, which was my home club, East Holmes Beagle Club, there in Farmerstown.
Is that at the location you guys just moved back to?
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity. Yeah.
Yeah. And
I guess that location's got a lot of history and nostalgia
sure
for you guys. So.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Yeah.
Anyways, so there was like close to 40 dogs. He didn't win his cast, but he placed second in his cast and ended up getting ninth place.
That was good enough to get into the top 10.
Yeah.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, so Little Pack places top 10 dogs. And I still remember it to this day, you know, taking home that first trophy in my first trial I entered in. I mean, I was on, you know, sky high and whatnot. But, you know, and he was a dog, I guess going back to his dad, was a dog that was a gamey dog and ran anything that left a scent trail, and he kind of was a chip off the old block and was the same way.
So that was kind of the downfall with that dog.
Yeah, and I mean, he was still a young dog. I mean, when I started competing him, I mean, he wasn't, I mean, he's 2 years, I think it was right around 2 years old. He was old enough, I mean, that I
he could have known better, yeah.
Yeah.
So did they have, was this before the e-collars came out, you know, the shock collars and stuff?
It was before the GPS systems come out.
Yeah. So that's a dog that in today's world probably would have been pretty easy to fix.
Yes, but, yes. Yeah. I definitely think so.
And that'll make another interesting topic, too. You know, we're kind of from the e-collar time frame. I think we both started right before they really came out, but most of our dog training and trialing has been done with the e-collar. We could sing a lot of praises about that advancement in dog training.
Because at that time, the only thing I had was the Tritronics trash breaker. And, well, long story short, I ended up taking that dog to another little pack hunt in Jackson, Ohio, about 2-3 weekends later. And he was doing real well. Had jumped the first rabbit. They were running a rabbit, and all of a sudden, the chase seemed to get a whole lot better, and a couple dogs came back, and him and another dog switched from a rabbit to a deer and got scratched.
Started running a little too good at that point, huh?
Yeah, and I tried to get him broke. I thought I had him broke and went out rabbit hunting with a coworker, and we had hunted for probably a good hour, shot a rabbit or two, and all of a sudden, he put his nose in the air and started up the hill and didn't start barking until he's towards the top, and he just up and left, and he got out of my range, and that's the last I ever seen the dog.
That's your last memory of that dog.
Huh? I mean, I tried my best to get the dog back. I went back and talked to neighbors and so forth. And
yeah. Well, somebody else probably picked up a pretty decent rabbit dog. And
yeah, that's back in the time where any dog, and I mean, still, I guess, some dogs.
Yep.
That run deer are just the worst dogs ever, yeah. So he might have not made it through all that.
Yeah, that was, you know, right when the e-collars and stuff were getting popular. And that, man, those tools have saved a lot of really good dogs. Uh-huh. You know, you think about it, you think about how big of a deal. And now I expect a dog to run trash at this point. It's not a big deal to me. Sometimes I let them go a little ways before I even break them, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's that was in the tougher days there.
Yeah, it definitely was a different – you had to look at it a whole different aspect.
And yeah. So, and then that's kind of a bummer, too. You know, that's the first dog you got a real taste of success, mm-hmm. any kind of success. But that was the dog that kind of got you hooked and led to the monster you are today for mm-hmm. chasing hunts all over the country and trying to get out there and compete.
And he was a dog that I probably would have done really well in competition with mm-hmm. on all his abilities he had and, you know – some of the guys that had seen him run who were in competition for a while, like, I mean, he got a big future ahead with this dog. And I think actually the day that he lost, or the first trial I took him to, the dog he lost to was a dog that ended up getting second place at the World Hunt.
Okay. What dog was that? Do you remember?
That was Twin Pines Blue Banker. What was his full name? Banker.
Okay.
He got second place, I think, at the World.
I'm not familiar. Who owned that dog?
Adam Yoder.
Adam Yoder? Yep. Okay.
He came from Twin Pine Kennels, Jay Hirschberger.
Yep. Okay. So moving on from that dog, how did you recover and kind of persevere?
So Ivan Mast gave me the opportunity to own a dog, or a couple of dogs, really.
Mm-hmm.
The first one that I got my hands on was a dog that also come from Jay Hirschberger's kennel. It was a dog I called Twin Pines Tiger. I just called her Blue, but her register name was Tiger.
Yeah.
And she was a dog that was just a solid above average dog.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing flashy, but get the job done.
Yeah.
And I was able to have a little bit of success with her.
What did you do with her? As far as, did you finish her? Did you
Yeah,
title
I made,
her out?
I ended up finishing her to a little pack rabbit champion.
Okay.
So kind of after I lost that other dog and so forth, she was the only dog I really had that was worth running in trials, but she was still real young.
Mm-hmm.
Or what I considered a young dog to be running in competition. She wasn't even, she was just a bit over a year old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd take her, she was competing, but she didn't have what she needed to win yet.
Yeah. So you think having a little more time to focus on her kind of helped her out, or?
Yeah, I think so. Because mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to look at, if you want to talk about success at the in the competition, about 6 months to a year later is when she really started to shine and started doing a whole lot better for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel that definitely made a difference. Just, and it's something that I look back now and say, like, you know, I like to wait till I see the dogs matured. A lot of people ask me, well, at what age do you start to compete a dog? You know, I guess just a rule of thumb is around 2 years old, not unless I'm running a derby dog.
Why is that?
I feel at 2 years old, most dogs have matured. They got mm-hmm. enough experience to where they've been in a lot of situations, such as potentially off-game chases, you know, opportunity to, you know, be pressure broken, things like that.
So you think the dog's reached its mental maturity at 2 years old
right.
to go out and make good decisions in the field and, not be necessarily influenced by bad decisions other dogs would make. So I guess that's kind of another good topic. You know, you see a lot of guys who do finish young dogs. They put champion titles on dogs at eight, 9 months old. And that's great, you know. That's great that they're having that kind of success. But
absolutely.
I've always kind of felt, you know, you take an 8 or 9 month old dog and you put it down with, I don't know, we'll use Wilbur, for example, a hard hitting dog that's going to really put a lot of pressure on a dog. You know, when you think of a champion dog, you want a dog that is mentally ready as well to face a lot of pressure, you know, be able to keep its head and do its thing and perform the way you feel that dog should perform. Now, you take some of those younger dogs out, and like I said, that's great that they've had success finishing those dogs, but you take a 9-month-old champion dog out. You run it with a hard-hitting dog every day until it's 2 years old. You're probably going to blow that dog up. Now, when you think of a champion dog, you think of a dog that is mentally ready, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. So I appreciate that you know, you say around 2 years old. I kind of agree. Just because a dog has some success at a young age, I don't necessarily think that is the kind of dog that you want to portray as a champion.
Right.
You know, a young dog like that's still very influenceable. It's a kudos to that handler, to that owner, that they've done such a good job with that dog. But, you know, at the end of the day, that dog could get steered in the wrong direction very quickly if you put too much trialing pressure on it at a young age.
Yeah,
it's kind of my opinion. You know, I've seen some hard-hitting 5-year-old grand champions that will just absolutely rock a dog, and there's no way that an 8 or 9 month old puppy is ready to compete with a dog like that in its physical and mental prime. So
I think taking a young pup or a young dog to one or two trials, you know, no matter what situation it gets put in, is not going to hurt or ruin the dog. I mean, I feel if you think that happens,
if you're doing your homework at home with that dog, yeah, absolutely, yep.
I mean, I can't see where a young dog, other than maybe an off-game run, is going to get influenced in such a bad way that you're just going to blow up a dog by one trial, especially like on an hour cast trial.
Yeah, and that's a fair point too, but I just kind of always cringe a little bit when I see those 8-9 month old champion dogs. I'm like,
No,
you've had some success, congratulations, but that dog's still got a long way to go to prove itself at the same time.
And my experience is, you know, even a 3-year-old, 4-year-old dog that, you know, I've seen guys wait till they're 3 pushing 4-year-old dogs into a competition, and they go in there and they win right at the first trial, or they just are very successful right from the get-go when they start promoting the dog. And I feel that is because there's so much more experience under that dog's belt, and it just goes out there and does its thing, doesn't worry about other dogs and things like that.
Yep.
It just runs the rabbit, so to speak. And
yeah. You're a dog, you've got a dog that's ready, I think, to be more consistent, you know?
Absolutely.
So, okay, so we moved on from there. You know, you and I, we got quite a bit of history together, and we got linked up through these trials and running dogs and stuff. So let's talk about some of the other dogs after that dog. You moved on and you started getting pretty consistent with a lot of dogs. What are some of the other dogs you might want to kind of talk about? Like when I think of Delbert, my first impression with you was the Flame dog that I handled for you. Real nice red and white dog. I handled her for you at a little pack hunt. Me and a buddy of mine, James Connell, went to, and you had to judge and you needed somebody to handle your dog. And naturally, her being a red dog, I'm like, I'll handle a red dog any day.
It's one guy I lucked into handling my dog.
Yeah. So, you know, we went out and it was Roger Hanning was the judge. It was me, Ivan Mast, and there was another guy in the cast, but I can't remember who it was. But, you know, we went out and I watched that Flame dog run. She did an absolute phenomenal job that day. She wasn't super flashy about anything she did. She went out, she jumped rabbits, she had a lot of checks, and she almost really, she put on a one dog show that day. I remember Roger was really impressed with her, and I was impressed with Roger because, you know, he's not a spring chicken, you know. I really like seeing these guys, and I just hope I'm as fortunate as they are at their age that I can keep going, because Roger went out and did an absolute phenomenal job of keeping up with those dogs. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know him from Tom, Dick, or Harry, and Like, how's this guy going to
be for
a job?
He's got a passion for the dogs, and he enjoys, you know, watching them run.
Yeah, but, yeah, man, he went out.
A good dog.
Yeah, he went out and probably did a better job than I could have done at keeping up with the dogs. And we all just kind of talked about that the whole way back, and we went back and told you, like, yeah, that dog did a really nice job. And that kind of started the beginning of our friendship. So let's talk about Flame a little bit, kind of get your perspective on her.
Yeah, well, Flame, like you said, is a red and white female. I got her as a 8-week-old puppy from Jay Hirschberger, Twin Pine Beagles.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I ended up with her, I took one of my buddies over to Jay's place to pick up a litter mate pup to Flame. And when I showed up there, Jay's like, hey, there's one red little female left there. If you want her, I'll make you a good deal on her.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, sure, I'll take her. And it just went from there. She was
what did she go back to as far as breeding wise?
She is directly out of Twin Pines Blue Angel.
Mm-hmm.
She would have been the dog that won the ARHA World. I can't remember what year.
Okay.
And her sire is Logan L. Neal.
Okay. Yeah.
Which Neal ended up passing away long before his time, but he was a dog. He was a reproducer.
He's a Hall of Fame reproducer.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Fame reproducer. Yeah.
So you fell into this pup, and she's already bred phenomenal.
I mean,
she had some really good breeding behind her.
Yeah, got very.
So it's no surprise that she turned out the way she did.
Yeah, very lucky to get opportunity to get something like that for where I was at, and I feel in competition and so forth.
Yeah.
So
do you feel she kind of set the bar for you as far as competition dogs go? Do you feel like up to her point she was the best one you had, or?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's still a darn good one, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, definitely was one of those dogs. Just like from an early age, you just see she was a natural, and you just see she's got it.
Yeah. So run me through the process of getting her started and getting her ready for hunts, and when you kind of realize, like, okay, I got something I can compete with. So
when I, like, I guess going back, because I still remember the day she first started running on track. I still remember exactly where it was at and everything. But
where was it?
It was on our home farm.
Okay.
In our back part of the farm in our woods.
Yeah.
All the way on top of the hill. The dogs were, I had her out, like, I guess Dad always just said, take the pups out with the old dogs. That's how they start.
Yeah.
And that's the theory I used a lot. I think I had shown her a tame rabbit or a San Juan or something. She sight chased around. And, but so I was out running, and she was just hanging around with me. And there, we had a path that went through the middle of our woods up on top of the hill. And I was just standing there. And this rabbit crossed like 10 yards in front of us. And she seen it. She runs up there and drops her head down, smells around, crosses the path a couple times, gets on the off on the side that the rabbit was headed, and before the other dogs got up to there where they were running, she started opening up and running, and the other dogs came in and
just kind of took to it naturally then, huh?
Yep.
It just went and with a pedigree like that, it doesn't really she should have the genetics to kind of fall in and do that. So
yeah, I'd say she was probably 5 month old, something like that. I mean, she was pretty young, but yeah, then from there on out, just running her. I just tried to run her as hard as I could. I didn't know much about conditioning a dog or how to run a dog to get her ready for competition, even though I had finished three dogs up to that point in Little Pack Champions.
Yeah.
But she was a dog that I just, I just run her. That's all I had to do with her, just run her. And at that time, I put a ton of miles on that dog. One of the day that stands out to me is I was running three of my dogs, and I cut dogs at 8 o'clock in the morning on public land, and we ended up, by end of the day, 8 hours later, I had like 31 miles on her.
Really?
And it was just, it's a day I'll never forget.
Yeah.
They just, just smoked. It was.
Where was that at?
Otsego.
Okay.
Down there, that land that ended up getting sold off, but.
Yep.
Just running up in them hills, it was just, and there was the springtime, rabbits were running big. You'd stand on one hillside, these three
dogs. That time of year that we all wait for.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, they just ran.
Mm-hmm.
It was like midday, I started headed back towards the truck, It's like, well, they've had enough, but I'll, you know, keep going. They jump another one, and they run
Just keep going, and how'd she handle that? Did she shine for you that day? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that was kind of the defining moment that you're like, I got something. This is
yeah,
this
like
is
a dog. Just one of the like the one thing I really remember that day, sitting on top of the hill, the rabbit ran straight up at me and run by me, and then before the dogs even got there, the rabbit comes back by me and like almost doubles back, not on the same track.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh boy, this will be fun.
Yeah, this is gonna be a nice little twist.
Yeah,
for him.
The dogs run straight up.
Yeah.
And I just still remember Flame just turning her wheels and
she just
never missed a beat and went back down. And I think it was a rabbit I ran for 2 hours that day. And he was trying to get away from the dogs and do everything he could. And it was just one of those
and they just wouldn't
moments
let go.
Where you just don't forget.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
So, okay, so you got her ready. You kind of had that clicking moment with her. Sort of a defining moment where you realized you had what you had. What all did you accomplish with her? I know it was quite a bit, you know, and she got it done across a couple of different formats. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, primarily I started off, I was still running Little Pack when I really was running her. And she finished to Little Pack Grand Champion, and eventually I got her finished to Competition Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
She was a dog that moved through the champion class fairly quick. I don't know what the time frame was, but she was a dog that also did well in no matter what conditions or weather or terrain you put her in.
Yeah.
Just like her open class win, I remember real well. It was up in Mercer, Pennsylvania. I'm going to been at like a 25 dog hunt or something like that because it was a 5-dog finals, and that still like middle of the day going out, it was like 5 degrees. And
Mercer's known for
those
cold, just horrible winter hunts. Yep
Like 5 degrees, 5-6 inches of crusty snow like on the top, at the point where the dogs
was
are...
was this one of the big five hunts in Mercer?
This was
just
a regular club
hunt. Okay,
this was just a club hunt that I went up to, and yeah, so, like, it was middle of the cast, probably a half hour into it. Two dogs had minused out, hitting old tracks, not able to produce.
Just couldn't produce, yeah.
And she was hunting real well the whole time, and hunting along this woods of just tree lots, and there's a pasture field along the edge there. And then out in the middle of this pasture field, about 100 yards out in the field, there's this 10x10 briar thicket.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I see her just leave this woodlot and just head straight for
so
that.
She figured out there wasn't anything in that woodlot, and it's time to go find a rabbit.
So she went out into there, and I'm thinking, I mean, you know, we can see this little briar patch. It don't look like it's much. I'm just, I just remember just saying something amongst the cast there. Oh, man, don't go out there. Ain't gonna be a rabbit out there on a cold day like this. And Dennis Kennedy was on the cast. I believe he had a dog in it, and Dennis was like, oh, that dog knows what she's doing. And sure enough, she gets in there, and a rabbit shoots out the other side and heads about another 100 yards to another woodlot on the other side of the field. And there's a hole right on the edge of the woodlot and the pasture field. And that's as far as the rabbit went, and she sight chased it to there. And that's the only rabbit we had in the finals, and she come away with a strike jump.
Yeah, so she came out. I'd say that's probably a testament to brains there, you know. She realized there wasn't anything in there, and she's going to go and hunt and find that rabbit. So
I mean, she was just notorious to figure out where rabbits are at and go jump them.
Yeah.
You know, so you need 5 wins in the champions to make a grand. And one of those wins, I think it was her 4th win, was down in it was a summertime hunt. It was down in Jackson, Ohio. The only reason I went, I was trying to get her, you know, finished a grand champion. I hadn't made a grand champion at that time. That was my goal at that time, and I was trying to hit every hunt every weekend. And I was like, well, I'll go down there. And I looked at the weather forecast. I seen it's supposed to be pretty warm, but, you know, I didn't really care. I was going anyways.
Yeah.
Get down there. She wins her first round, makes a 3-dog finals, and we get out there. It's hot. And I can't even remember who the other dogs were, but she kept hunting, and she ended up jumping every rabbit we had in the cast. I think there was two or three, and she'd jump it. The other dogs would jump out of the water hole. They were trying to cool off and get in there and help her run it till the chase ended. And anyway, she ended up coming out with the win. Mm-hmm. We got back to the trucks. And
how many rabbits did she jump on that cast?
I think it was two or three. I can't remember for sure. I just know she jumped everyone.
But she stayed out there and got them.
She never
got
quit,
them up and
kept hunting and got us rabbits.
Yeah. And that's just an example of a dog with heart. You know, a dog that just loves what it does. Uh-huh. You know, it wants to get out there and it wants to do its job. So
we get back to the trucks and somebody looks at the temperature truck and it's 105 degrees.
Yeah.
Which is just brutal, stupid, really. You know, almost felt bad from a handler perspective putting my dog out into that.
Yeah. Yep.
But it made me appreciate her. Like, no matter what the conditions were or what the temperature was, she gave it her all every time out and never quit.
Yep.
That's just
That's one of the things that kind of separates a dog from the rest, you know, when they got the heart to do something like that. But that's a story that I can relate to with my old Falcon dog. He was a dog that would, you know, whether it's 5 degrees outside or 105. But I took him out in the Champions cast at St. Louisville once, and it wasn't 105, but it was in the upper 90s. Mm-hmm. Took him out, and it was a 3-dog cast, and he jumped every rabbit and never quit. I mean, the other dogs would be on the clock and they would get saved because he'd jump a rabbit and they'd get to him. And, you know, at the time you're super proud, you know, when you got a dog like that you believe in that much, to take them out and for them to do that and separate themselves, you're proud of it. But then looking back, you're like, man, that was just really dumb. You know, I could have really, that dog's got that much heart and that much drive. You could really, really hurt that dog, especially with something you really enjoy and you're proud of. And, you know, so I that's a story I can relate to because I've been there. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to say, I got a dog that'll go out in 100 degrees and jump a rabbit, but then looking back, you're like, that's pushing the line,
right?
You know,
because myself looking back now, it's like, man, I'm never gonna do that again. I don't need to put my dog into that. Even though they might go and do what they're supposed to do, it's just, it's not worth risking a dog.
Right. Yeah, you're looking at something that you're potentially young in its career, that's got a lot to do. And you can hurt dogs by putting them through that. You know, that kind of stuff's hard on their kidneys. You got to really, really kind of watch that, you know, with those dogs. But yeah, that was kind of like I said, that's a story that's near and dear to my heart because I've been there and I know how proud you could be. And then you look back, you're like, glad I got the win, glad the dog won and did its thing, but was it really worth it? So, yeah. Okay, so, you know, and that, you had Flame, she did good in Little Pack, but that's not where it stopped with her. You know, you went on to have some success with her, and that's one of the things I think you and I get along so well about is, you know, you're good with dogs. You know how to identify a talented dog. You know how to bring that talented dog up and feed it, you know, to get the most out of a dog once you see you've got something. But another thing, you don't just stop it. You don't just run Little Pack. You run them all. And that's another thing. You don't gauge a dog just because it's not, you don't think it's a certain format. You're really good at getting a talented dog into the right place that it's going to shine. And, you know, that's kind of one of the places that you and I kind of see eye to eye on really well. But let's talk about some of the other formats you've been successful with her in. Uh-huh. So,
well, she was still competing in Little Pack. I hadn't probably haven't even at that time granted her out.
You put her in the Hall of Fame as well, right? Did we talk about that? I can't. This is our second time recording this because somebody forgot to hit the record button. So,
so she just made recently this last year.
Yeah.
She made the competition Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I guess some of her success that she got there, she took second place twice at Big Five Hunts. If memory is right, I believe it was the North American in Mercer, Pennsylvania. She got a second place.
Okay. And you have to place first or second in order to receive points, right? So I did a podcast with Ivan. We kind of talked about the Hall of Fame, but again, let's kind of iterate, what's it take for a dog to make the Hall of Fame in competition?
So for Little Pack, for a dog to make a competition Hall of Fame.
And this is a prestigious thing for people to accomplish in Little Pack. Not everybody does this. So.
You get points by winning big hunts. So there's the big five hunts and also state status hunts. So if you win or get second place at a big five, you get points toward the Hall of Fame. First is 10 points, and second is 5 points.
Okay. And you got to come up with 100 points total? 35. Okay.
So, right. But, I mean, if you think about it, you know, trying to get 35 points, I mean, you got to win.
That's a lot. Several big ones. That's not an easy task. Right. So let's
and you
talk
also
about her journey there.
Get points by making Grand Rabbit Champion or Grand Bench Champion, which was another place she shined. I mean, she got second at the Little Pack World Show 1 year, won a lot of big hunt shows.
Not just because she was a red dog, but she's actually pretty easy on the eyes. She's a well-built dog. Yeah. And, yep.
Very solid
confirmation. I mean, every red dog's a world champion to me. Show world champion anyhow, but. No, she is. She's a good-looking dog. She's got a good head on her. She's got good running gear, good muscle. She's got pretty good bone to her. So, yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that's primarily what the points come from. They call them state hunt status because there's some, like, benefit hunts, like the juvenile diabetes. And
some of your more prestigious hunts in Little Pack.
Right. Yeah. If you get first there, it's 5 points. Second is 2.5.
Okay.
I'm not exactly sure. I'm trying to remember. I think it's like 13 or 13 and a half is what you get just to make a Grand Rabbit Champion.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so and then the rest have to come from. And your dog has to be a Grand Champion to be ordered.
And she's a dual Grand, right?
Yeah, little she would pack, be a dual or, Grand.
Yeah, Little Pack Rabbit Champion, Little Pack Bench Champion. So, yeah, this is a dog that definitely kind of, I would say, probably set the bar for you pretty high from that point on, you know? What other dogs, you know, there's a lot. I know, but for people who are listening who don't know, let's talk about some of the other dogs you've had some success with.
So another dog that I had some success with, maybe not as much as I'd liked or I thought she had ability for, was Buckeye's Little Bitty. She comes from Ivan Mast. Her sire is B-Tax, Bit of Bam, Bit of Boom.
Which he was say that one more time for us.
Bit of Bada, Bit of Boom.
Yeah.
Ivan can be better at that. But, and the female was Triple M's Amazing Grace, which were both dogs out of Talk About RJ. Ivan's old Hall of Fame dog.
So she's double RJ.
She's a double RJ dog, which has
and that Amazing Grace dog, I've seen her. She seems like she was a pretty decent reproducing dog.
Yeah, she, when it come to, she never made like Little Pack Rabbit Champion or not, wasn't competed much. From what I've heard other guys say, she was like a 13-inch little female.
Yeah.
Just a very nice dog.
I've seen her in a lot of quite a few pedigrees.
Which, that RJ dog, that's a lot of ace in the hole stuff, you know, going back to Don Hoag stuff.
You got some turbo stuff in there too, or turbo power by prop somewhere, or?
Very little if there is but anyway, Biddy, I did put one title on her. She was a Little Pack Rabbit Champion, but I also did compete with her in quite a few different formats, and she was able to be successful in them, but not enough to put another title on her. I mean, she ended up having 2 wins in AKC, SPO, the Midwest. She had a couple wins in UKC Hunting Beagle. Ended up having a win in UKC Performance Pack as well.
Yep.
And then she also had a little bit of success in UKC Performance Pack, or Large Pack.
Large Pack, yeah. Now, I've got a good Biddy story I'd like to share with that. We used to run a lot of large pack in Coshocton, was a pretty hot thing for a little while. And I was judging 13. She was a little 13-inch female. And at this time, I didn't know. We knew each other, but not like we do now. You know, this was pretty early in our friendship. I didn't realize she was your dog. But it was me and Dan Spalding judging the 13-inch class, and we were up on the flats at Tri-Valley. I can't remember what the name of that road is. But anyways, it's right across from Ryan Road on the other side of 208. But we're up there. That was one of my favorite spots to run. Mm-hmm. And we get in there, and, you know, this stuff is it's CRP kind of stuff. It's not briars, but it's thick. Mm-hmm. You got to get on top of those dogs to really see what's going on. So I was getting in there and getting kind of close, and I looked down, and there's a dog just sitting there. And she wasn't running with the other dogs, but she wasn't getting very far away from them, kind of sticking to them. And I'm looking down. I'm like, dude, I just stepped on this dog, you know. And for the rest of the time, I keep noticing her. I'm feeling guilty in my head. I'm like, you know, this dog, she's scared out of her mind because I went in there and stepped on her or something, you know, blah, blah. I didn't know what exactly happened, but I felt like I had screwed her up because she never really got in and ran, but she wouldn't go back and necessarily hang out with the spectators either. She just kind of acted like she was scared. But, you know, as the trial went on, we made some cuts. We actually ended up moving, and for, you know, whatever reason, she stayed down. I really don't even know why she still stayed down. I think...
Well, the explanation I got was she wasn't doing no harm.
She wasn't hurting anything.
Why pick her up?
Yeah.
The story I got.
Yeah,
was
I think that was.
She ended up going back to the other handlers and just hanging out with them. So okay. She wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, every time I noticed her, she was with the dogs. But yeah, I think that was kind of Dan Spalding's theory on that, and I was pretty much okay with it too. Like, she's not hurting anything, so why pick her up? You know. But anyways, we kept her down. We changed locations. And it was the very last rabbit. And I don't want to take too much credit away from those other dogs because they did run for probably 3 or 4 hours. But this very last rabbit, it clicked with her. She got in there, she jumps a rabbit, and she just completely crushed the other dogs. And I was like, holy cow, man, this dog can really run a rabbit. And we went back. I talked to Dan after that. We called field trial right after that rabbit. And I told him, I said, Dan, I got more score on that dog on one rabbit than I do some of these other dogs in the entire 3 or 4 hours. And he's like, yeah, but we can't let her place when she's only ran one rabbit this entire time, you
Absolutely.
Know. But that was kind of a testament to Biddy. And again, like I said, I don't want to take too much away from those other dogs because they had been running for quite a while. But you could recognize right off the rip, like, this is a dog that can get in, she can run the rabbit, she can run the track, and she can score. You know, and she can look really good doing it. So that was kind of my first impression with Biddy. We went back. I found out she was your dog. I ended up talking to you. I'm like, man, I'm sorry. Like, I think I stepped on your dog. I don't know what her deal was. And then you kind of just reassured me, like, yeah, that's kind of what she does. You know, she gets a little funny sometimes with people running on foot around her. She just kind of shut down and doesn't want anything to do with it. So that kind of made me feel a little better because for about 4 hours I was feeling like, man, I just really screwed up somebody's dog. So.
Yeah, that was the worst part about her. I mean, to this day, I still don't know what it is or what caused her to do that. But anyway, I don't know how many times she did it. I'd go out on a cast with her, you know, even myself handling her, cut dogs loose, and there she stood.
Yeah,
Maybe I got second place with her at the first AKC trial I took her to. It was an AKC Derby trial, and so she was qualified for the Midwest runoff, and I had a good friend who was going, and he said, yeah, I'll take her. I said, but you know what she can do. Mm-hmm. You know, she might just stand at your feet.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's fine, yeah. You know, he took her and ran her from his house and ended up going to the Midwest runoff with her and cut her loose, and she never went in there.
Yeah. So Biddy was a dog. A lot of talent, but you had a little trouble getting the consistency out of her. What were, you know, the accomplishments you got with Biddy?
You know, like I said, she's a little pack rabbit champion. Was able to get a couple wins.
So you did finish her in little pack.
Yeah, I was able to get her finished. I had when she was young, I had no trouble with her being a little strange or whatnot at trials. You know, did real well for me at a couple of them, and so I kind of got tired of taking a dog to a trial that you didn't know what she was going to do. Should I leave my feet or not? I know a lot of people would call a dog like that, but I knew what kind of ability she had, you know, by running her with my other dogs and so forth.
Yeah, you were seeing the talent. You were seeing things out of her you liked at home.
Right.
You know, training and just running.
And I remember, like, driving to Illinois to a trial one time, and she wasn't the only dog I took, but I took her out on a cast and, you know, kind of scoping at the other dogs and, like, man, I think she's got a shot at winning this cast, of, you know. And there she stood at my feet, wouldn't leave my feet. They ran rabbits the whole time. I was like, man, she had a prime opportunity to, you know, be bitty and win a cast. But anyways, I put her on the back burner for like a year. Didn't really run her in any competition.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of let her lay back a little bit. Kept on running
her. But she had earned her place in your mind.
Yeah, she wasn't going to go.
You knew what she was. She was just having some trouble showing up at trials. So,
Yeah. So after that, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to try her again. And she was still kind of on and off. You didn't really know, but she was a little bit better. But I was able to get two wins with her and AKC, SPO Midwest. And then she also had a little bit of success in UKC Hunting Beagle, got a couple cast wins there. And UKC Performance Pack, she actually won the Maryland State Hunt one year.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, took her out there and did well both days and won the the Maryland State Hunt. And then also she did well in the few other UKC large pack hunts that I took her.
Yeah. So she did have some success. Did you ever kind of figure out what that little catch with her was, why she would kind of get?
I never did. I could never figure it out. Tried different things, you know, when I'd cut her loose, take her away from the people to the side, and kind of watching, you know, how I handle her around the clubhouse and things like that.
But she was just a dog that had a couple triggers.
And, you know, she was a real smart dog. I mean, just the way she ran a rabbit and everything. I mean, she. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I just live and die with it is what I did. And,
Yep. When she showed up big, though. Uh-huh. You had a lot of success with her. Yeah. And she's kind of the dog that kind of put you into AKC, kind of turned you on to it.
That
was really your first success with AKC was with that dog?
Yeah, because before she, you know, I put her on the back burner. I ended up getting second at a derby trial.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had another second at a license trial. I think I might have had a third place or something. That was running very minimal AKC trials.
And that was all with her,
yeah,
right?
That was with her, and mainly just hitting a lot of the local ones because I didn't really feel I had a ton of dog power, so I was like, I'm not going to travel to run her in AKC.
Yep. So moving on from Biddy, you know, like I said, there's quite a list of dogs that you've accomplished quite a bit with, but moving on from her, where would you go next for dogs to talk about?
Probably South Bar Rockstar.
Rockstar, okay.
Yeah, he's a dog that originally comes out of Mississippi, but he's a northern hairbred dog. He's out of Cedarbeck Blazer.
Yep.
I got him off of Jason Kiko. Kind of a backstory on how all that went down. I got contacted by Jason and said, hey, you want to buy a dog? I got this dog for you. I think he'd do well for you in little pack and running also multiple formats. Because the dog was 5 years old at the time. And originally in Mississippi, Davy Crockett owned him. And he run him in some AKC Southern Large Pack and also AKC SPO.
Mm-hmm.
He did have one win in SPO and had quite a few places in.
Okay, so I didn't know he had a win in SPO.
Yes,
okay.
He had a win in SPO. I can't remember what club or what trial it was, but so he kind of got shifted around to a couple different kennels. A guy in New York had him, and then Jason Kiko in Northeast Ohio ended up with him. And so from there, he contacted me and wanted me to buy him. And
so the guy contacted you wanting you to buy his dog as opposed to you,
which is something that has happened quite often over the years, but
because people probably want to get dogs in your hands.
Yeah, you know? I mean, just to be honest, at that time I was running more dogs than majority of people out there, and but he kind of, I said, no, I don't need another dog. I'm not looking to buy another dog, and my kennels are basically full. So he lets it go for a day or two, and he starts bugging me again. He's like, "Hey, you sure?" And
so he's being pretty persistent.
Yeah,
he's kind of really.
And then finally, he's like, "I tell you what, I'll make you a good deal. I'll throw another dog in there." I was like, "I don't need two more dogs." Long story short, I end up with both dogs.
You ended up caving in,
getting the dogs. And yep. Man, I'm sure glad I have, because Rock was very good to me.
Yeah.
Except for the first couple months that I had him, we struggled to connect and click. We just
didn't really see eye to eye with the dog.
Yeah. So I bought both of these dogs unseen. Didn't watch them run, but I had a couple mutual friends who'd seen these dogs run and so forth. And I, you know, said, "Well, I trust these people." And Jason said, "You know, I'm not satisfied. Let me know."
Yeah.
Well, the first 2 months, it just didn't go so well. Me and Rock just didn't click. I'd go out, take him out. He'd run. He didn't look like the dog Jason told me he would be. Jason said, mm-hmm. "He's a jump dog. He's going to be your better dog. He's going to be the best one. That's the one you're going to want for competition."
Mm-hmm.
And this other dog would just beat up on him. I'd be running him with my pack, and he was just a dog.
What was the other dog's name?
Ozzy.
Ozzy. Okay. Yep.
And he was a Ranger Dan Branko dog.
Okay.
He was a grandson to Ranger Dan, and directly out of a Branko female.
Okay.
But anyway, this Ozzy was, and my other dogs were basically just kicking his ass.
You weren't seeing it. You just weren't seeing what this guy was telling you.
What's going on here? You know,
I
don't get it. And I finally text Jason. I said, "Which dog did you tell me is the better dog?" I said, "Well, it's right the opposite that you told me." He's like, "Give it some time." And I remember one evening going
don't
out.
Don't you love it when people tell you, "Give it some time"?
Yeah, and I remember taking Rock and this year-old dog I had out one evening, and it was like an inch or two of snow, kind of crusty, you know, thinking it's going to be tougher conditions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give Rock the chance to maybe start clicking here.
And this, based off what that guy told you.
Right.
That would be what he would shine in.
And this young dog just put it to Rock, and I'm like, mm-hmm. something ain't right here. Well, about 2 months went by, and all of a sudden he started clicking, and me and him were on the same page. And he was exactly what Jason said he would be, if not more.
Yeah.
And, he ended up being a very good dog for me.
Yeah, so what was it that clicked, just out of curiosity? Like, what did he just start coming around, or did he just show up one day?
It was just like he kind of come around to my way of thinking, so to say. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you'd cut him loose, and he'd just go, and, like, he'd know how you hunted and what to do. It was, I'm not sure how to explain it, but, yeah, it was.
He just showed up, said, "Here I am."
Huh. He said, I'm your buddy now.
Yeah.
I give up.
Yeah, no, you know, my first impression with Rock was that day we went out and ran. It was pretty cold. For whatever reason, the sending conditions were not good that day, and I had a young one-year-old dog out there, and it was quite the opposite of mm-hmm. what you just described. Rock put on an absolute clinic that day. You know, he was one of those dogs that he could get it done mm-hmm. in tough conditions, just flat out get it done, and he's... The anomaly for him was the fact that he kind of proved he had a big nose,
mm-hmm.
but he was a very tight-mouthed dog. You know, a lot of times with your dogs that do have a little more nose, you do tend to get a little more mouth. And, you know, this is all kind of walking on eggshells, because ultimately brains uh-huh. is what controls the nose and the mouth, uh-huh. you know. But he was a dog that kind of broke that mold of, if he didn't have a big nose, he had the brains to figure something out, because he could just get it done
right.
when other dogs couldn't. And that's one of the things about Rock that stands out to me. And again, he's another one like Flame that he is going to go find a rabbit.
Yeah, there's absolutely.
No, you know, when you run Rock, he's going to jump. He's not just going to jump one rabbit, mm-hmm. but he's going to jump a lot of rabbits. He had the brains. And I think a lot of times, maybe with your jump dogs, brains tie into that. He was a dog with a head full of brains. And that was... To me, that's what Rock is. So what all did Rock do as far as competition goes?
So as far as competition, Rock, I ended up finishing him to a Little Pack Grand Rabbit Champion, and I also finished him to a UKC Performance Pack Grand Champion.
Mm-hmm. And he did both in a relatively short amount of time, didn't he?
I think by the time he was seven, when I got him, he was five. So really, less than 2 years, he accomplished that.
Yep.